We pick up our text in verse 24. No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If this is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Also, for our catechism text this evening, turn in the back of the Psalter hymnal to page 62. Page 62, Lord's Day 50, where we learn the fourth request this evening. I will ask the question, together we'll respond with the answer. What does the fourth request mean? Give us this day our daily bread means, do take care of all our physical needs so that we come to know that you are the only source of everything good, and that neither our work and worry nor your gifts can do us any good without your blessing. And so help us to give up our trust in creatures and to put trust in you alone. This we believe. Let's ask for the Spirit's blessing once again. Let us pray. Father, we come hungering this evening once again to be fed. And Father, we pray that you would feed our souls this evening. Father, we ask that you would give us the grace of your Holy Spirit, his presence among us, his illuminating power to open up our hearts to behold the truth of your word. Father, we pray that as we study this evening, that you would lift our hearts heavenward, that our faith would be tested and that it would be shown to be true, that as we learn that we are fully dependent creatures on you, that our hearts would rejoice, that we can cast off the anxieties of this life and rest, knowing that you are a heavenly Father who cares for us. And Father, we ask all these things in Christ's name alone. Amen. In the study of survival, there's something called the rule of three. The rule of three. So as you prepare for survival in the wilderness, if you should ever encounter such a situation as that, consider the rule of three. We as humans can survive for 3 minutes without oxygen, give or take a little. We can survive for 3 hours in extreme temperatures without a good structure to protect us from extreme heat or extreme cold. And you can survive for 3 days without water. And you can even survive for up to 3 weeks and even a little bit more without food. Now, these, of course, are estimates. Some people have survived for longer times than this, but this gives us a good basis by which to structure our limits in survival. But all that as it is, it reminds us as human beings this evening that we are dependent creatures. We are not self-sufficient beings. We are dependent on oxygen to live. We're dependent on eating food and drinking water. We are creatures that are not self-sufficient at all. But God has designed us from the very beginning, to be wholly dependent. Dependent not on just creation, but on the creation He sustains us with. In fact, when you think about it, the only being who is not dependent is God Himself. That's one of the attributes that makes Him God. And since we are not God, we are dependent. We need to eat. We need to sleep. We need to have protection from heat and cold. We are dependent creatures. And that's really the topic we're going to be considering tonight, that each of us is fully dependent on God every second of every day. Our heart beats because He causes it to beat. We have food because He gives it to us. We are absolutely dependent on everything. And that's what the prayer teaches us. When we pray, "Give us today our daily bread," it's at its core a humble acknowledgement that if God does not give us what we need, we will fall away. But if He gives us what we need, we certainly will have it as His children. And we are studying, again, the Lord's Prayer. We've looked at the first three petitions the past couple weeks, and we've seen solely they are focused on God. We've prayed for God's name to be hallowed. We've prayed for God's glory to shine forward. We've prayed for God to be glorified in our lives. But now the second half of the Lord's Prayer, we focus on our needs now. And Jesus now begins to roll into our section. He begins here with our physical needs. Jesus here knows our physical needs, and we begin by praying for God to meet our physical needs this evening. So as we consider it, the theme of this that we need to understand is that this prayer is a prayer of dependency on God to meet all our physical necessities. That's really simply what we're going to consider. That the prayer is a prayer of dependency on God to meet all our physical necessities. As I broke it down this week, three brief points. First, we want to examine that it's a prayer for physical necessities. We're going to really look at the prayer itself, break it down, and understand what Jesus is teaching here. Secondly, we want to look and understand that it's a prayer for blessing. Not only that God would give us things, but the things He does give us, we learn from here that He needs to bless them. And thirdly, we need to learn that it's a prayer of trust. And then we're going to spend more time tying it all in together. So first, let's look at the prayer itself and notice here it's a prayer for physical necessity. And first and foremost, we note here that it's the necessity of food. The necessity of food. Jesus says, "Pray for our daily bread." Now, interestingly, we really don't know exactly what the word "daily" means here. In the Greek, it only shows up twice in the New Testament, and both times are in the Lord's Prayer. And for years, scholars have thought that this actually was a made-up word by the authors of Scripture, but we now know that it's just a rare word, and we've come across it a few more times. But scholars really are taking an educated guess at what it means, and what they almost certainly, or for a good percentage, know that it means something along the lines of something sufficient for the quest, or something necessary to meet the needs within a period of time. And so that's why our translations have put "daily" there, because behind this word, what Jesus is getting at is we're praying that God would sustain us for a sufficient amount of time that we stand in need of. And when we add that to the word "bread" there, it really makes total sense, because bread here highlights our daily need. In Jesus' day, bread was the staple of life. Everyone needed bread, and almost everyone ate bread. Bread was baked daily, and everyone needed that bread to live. And really, nothing has changed. Bread still is a common staple for the day. And Jesus uses that and shows us here that we are to pray for the necessities of our day. That bread that we are asking for would meet the need that we have for the time period we are praying for. And so we are asking really for the necessities here. And notice, Jesus already is showing us what we're praying for. Jesus says, pray for the necessities of life. Don't pray for the extreme delicacies that you don't stand in need of. This prayer is a humble reminder that we are praying that God would give us what we actually stand in need of. Not the wants that He does bless us with, but the needs that we have. Also, we see that we're praying for the physical necessities of the day. Okay, that ties in with the word, but Jesus says, give us today. Give us today. Jesus limits this prayer to a day-by-day prayer. And in other words, what Jesus here is teaching us is that we are praying in such a way that we are wholly dependent on God every day. Jesus does not teach us to pray for our needs for a year. For if we were to do that, we would only be dependent on Him once a year. But Jesus teaches us that we're to pray in such a way that we acknowledge every day we are absolutely dependent upon God. This is a daily need that Jesus asked for us to pray for. And in many ways, we can see this from the Old Testament. In Exodus 16, God comes to Moses and he gives the Israelites the stipulation for manna. He tells the Israelites they're only to gather enough for the day. If they are to gather more than that, he says that it will rot in their pots before the next day. But notice what he teaches in Deuteronomy 8. If you would turn to Deuteronomy 8, this confirms what Jesus is showing us here. That's page 180 in your pew Bible. God here comes to the second generation of the Israelites, those who are preparing to go into the promised land, and he teaches them here why God gave them only enough for one day. And notice what we learn here. Look at verse 1. It says, "Be careful to follow every command I'm giving you today, so that you may live and increase and may enter and possess the land the Lord promised in oath to your forefathers." Verse 2. "Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the desert these 40 years. And notice the reason. To humble you and to test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands. He humbled you, causing you to hunger, and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your fathers had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord." Drop down to verse 7. "For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land with streams and pools of water, with springs flowing into the valleys and the hills, a land with wheat and barley, vines and fig trees, pomegranates, olive oil and honey, a land where bread will not be scarce, and you will not lack, and you will lack nothing, a land where rocks are iron and you can dig copper out of the hills. When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands and laws and his decrees that I am giving you this day. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, and when your herds and flocks grow large, and your silver and gold increases, and you have multiplied, then your heart will become proud, and you will forget the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. He led you through the vast and dreadful desert, that thirsty and waterless land with its venomous snakes and scorpions. He brought you water out of a hard rock. He gave you manna to eat in the desert, something your fathers had never known. And notice again, to humble and to test you, so that in the end it may go well with you. You may say to yourself, 'My power and strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me.' But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth, and so confirms his covenant, which he swore with your forefathers as it is today." Now notice what we learn there. When God teaches them the reason for this, it was to prepare them for plenty. God took them through the wilderness and gave it to them on a day-by-day basis to show them his faithfulness. God says, your forefathers and you had to depend on me every day for your daily bread. And all of that was to prepare you for a time of plenty so that you did not depend on yourself, but that you would know, even in the plenty, this land you are going to, I have given it to you. And so Jesus is pointing back to that in this prayer, and we are reminded again and again that we who have plenty, yet are dependent on God for our daily bread, just as the Israelites were when they wandered. So we wandering today are absolutely dependent as they were for daily bread. And lastly, the last thing I want to point out then is that it's necessities from God. It kind of goes without saying we're to ask God the Father to give us these things. I suppose that does not strike us as amazing, but think about that for a moment. Jesus is teaching us to ask the sovereign God of heaven and earth, the one who's upholding all things, for a loaf of bread every day. This is teaching us that God cares about our physical needs. God is not impartial to our physical care. In fact, God from the beginning has been concerned. He gave them, in the Garden of Eden, God gave Adam and Eve all that they needed. In the wilderness, God provided his people with all that they needed. And even our Savior provided thousands of people bread because he had a concern for their physical need. And so we are reminded in this prayer of God's care for us. We, as the children of the Father, can ask for a loaf of bread, and we are not bothering our Father. This is not inconsequential to him, but he desires for us to come, and he will provide us our daily bread. Now, secondly, as we consider this prayer, the Catechism points to the reality that we are really praying also for a blessing. It's a prayer for a blessing. The Catechism summarizes it as follows. It says, pray this, so that we come to know that you are the only source of every good, and that neither our work and worry nor your gifts can do us any good without your blessing. Now, what the Catechism is getting at here is really a prayer for a blessing on our work. The Bible is absolutely clear that God provides, but He always provides through means, and usually, and most commonly, that's through our labor. God gives us our daily bread by the work of our hands and the jobs that we have, and He provides through that. Again, in the Garden of Eden, we learn there that the Lord God took man and put him in the garden to work and to keep it. Even from the beginning, that was God's means of providing. The man in the wilderness had to be gathered and brought in. And even in the Old Testament ceremonial law, farmers were to let gleaners come in so that they could harvest. They could be provided for, but they had to work for it. God provided through the labor of our hands. Again, in the New Testament, this is clarified. 2 Thessalonians 3 says, for even when we were with you, we would give you this command. If anyone is not willing to work, let him not eat. Ephesians 4:28. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest gain with his own hands, so he may have something to share with everyone who is in need. And so God blesses our work, or we're praying for a blessing, that it would produce the fruit that we stand in need of. In many ways, when you think also about why we need to ask a blessing, it's because that's part of the curse, isn't it? When Adam and Eve sinned, what was the curse upon the land? That we would eat our bread by the sweat of our brow. That the toil of our work is filled with frustration, all as a sign pointing us to the reality that sin has corrupted this. And so we are, based on that, also to ask for a blessing for the reason of the curse, that God would bless it. And also the Catechism points to the reality that we are praying for a blessing upon God's gifts. And this is upon the food and the drink. God gives it to us, but if we don't ask and God doesn't give us the blessing, it does us absolutely no good. And that applies as well to medicine. My professor in seminary used this as an example to teach about God's decrees. He says he takes an aspirin because God blessed that to take away pain, but then he prays. Because if God does not bless that aspirin, it will have no effect on his body. And it's the same with our daily bread. We pray for it, that it would be a blessing to us. Thirdly and lastly, the last part of this prayer is that it's a prayer of trust. It's an absolute prayer of trust. This prayer is literally a humbling of ourselves, asking for God to take our trust away from our own hands, take our trust away from the people around us and put it where it belongs, the God of the heavens and the earth, to see with eyes of faith, not with eyes of our own doing. And that's why we want to look at Matthew chapter 6. It's interesting. Most commentators believe Jesus here talks about not worrying in the same chapter as the Lord's Prayer to teach us what the fourth petition is all about. And we begin by realizing it's all about who we are placing our trust in. Praying for our daily bread is literally a struggle between idols of this world and trusting in the true and living God. That's what Jesus says in verse 24. He says, no one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. And so when you put that in the context of praying for our daily bread, this prayer is literally warfare to put off the idols of this world and to trust not in our own doing, but in the sovereign God of heaven and earth. It's literally asking God to give us the strength to see him and that he would provide. So our trust would increase, that he would give us what we need, and not to trust in our own strength. And notice the rest of that text walks through why we should trust God. Jesus gives us multiple examples. The first one is that life is more than pursuing this world. Notice verse 25. It says, therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, or what you will wear. And notice, is not life more important than food? And the body more important than clothes. And Jesus here is showing us what our pursuits are. If you are pursuing things in this world, life is all about physical things. It's all about the fine food and getting your fill. But Jesus says, as Christians, your satisfaction is not in this world. Life is not about this world. It's about God. It's about knowing Him in conformity to Christ. And so it's not about filling our stomachs and bowing down to the idols of this world, but food is meant to point to who we serve. Also, in verse 26, we trust God because He loves us. Read there, look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. And notice these beautiful words. Are you not much more valuable than they? See, the prayer for our daily bread comes down to a trust that God loves us, that we are His children, and that He cares for us more than the birds that He provides for. It's getting down on our knees and resting that God does love us as His children. It's really asking the question, do you and I trust God's love means He will certainly provide what we stand in need of for the day? And lastly, and probably this is most what points to the fourth petition, verse 31, it's trusting because we seek something far better than what pagans seek. Notice verse 31. So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows you need them. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Now consider how beautiful these words are. Jesus says, you are not a pagan. Jesus says, you know those pagans? They're anxiously seeking their daily bread. And you want to know why? Because they do not have a Heavenly Father to give them their daily bread. They're trusting in their job. They're trusting in their own strength. And they know full well that their stock market can collapse in a moment. And so they're very anxious because their daily bread hangs on their strength. And Jesus says, you are not to live that way because your reality is different. You have a Heavenly Father and He will provide. And He is one whom will give you everything. You are children of the King. And He will not withhold the blessings of this world to you. And so really we go full circle here. What Jesus is teaching is the manna principle again. We are to live day by day in daily dependence in preparation to realize that everything we have is given to us by our Heavenly Father. Now, in conclusion then, I want to really give us six thoughts of application, or just really six brief thoughts to weave this together. First thing is, I think we should consider how freeing this is. Consider how freeing this prayer is. Jesus is telling us to pray and rest for God to provide. Do you find it easy to be anxious? Do you find it hard to sleep at night? Well, in many ways, I find it hard. I tend to be an anxious person. Or maybe do you find the grind of pursuing things of this world exhausting? See, the world is pursuing things which will not satisfy, so they're always looking for the next thing to buy. They're always looking for the next thing to satisfy, and it will not satisfy. It will always leave you wanting more. And you see, Jesus is coming here, and He tells us where to go to find satisfaction. He tells us that we can sleep at night because we have a God who will give us what we need for tomorrow. He will do it. And we can not pursue the things of this world. We can live a life of gratitude and contentment, because we're not seeking the things of this world. We're seeking the everlasting God who will give us all of this. And so really the prayer of daily bread is meant to give us rest. Confidence and rest that God will provide. Secondly, it also teaches us our dependence. We've been saying that throughout, but it teaches us our dependence. Do you view yourself as dependent every day? In many ways, I think that this is one of the struggles we living in America are going to have to acknowledge. It's so easy for us to go to our supermarkets. It's so easy to go to our gas stations and fill up, to not think of how dependent we are. And you think about Deuteronomy 8, that was the danger the Israelites faced when they got into the land. God says, I know you're going to have plenty. And when you have plenty, you are not going to think that you are dependent on me. But God throughout the Old Testament is showing them over and over again through droughts and withholding things that they were absolutely dependent on God, and so it is with you and me. If you just break it down, when you go shopping at Shaw's or Hannaford's, they're dependent on the farmers to grow the crops and therefore good weather in order to grow the crops. We're dependent on chickens not getting diseases and having to be wiped out, right? We learned that this year. and the delivery people and on all the way through the production, every step of the way is absolutely dependent on each of those steps. And all it takes is one of those to fall apart for listeria or some disease to get in the food before we realize how dependent we are on each of those steps. Each of those is a blessing from God. And we should not forget that. Even every one of our jobs is dependent on someone else. Whether it's someone buying milk or sending their kids to school or needing a house bill, every one of those steps is dependent on other people being blessed by God in order to meet our need. So again, we're reminded every day we are absolutely dependent on God to provide these things. And really, in many ways, the recession that hit a few years ago reminded us of that, didn't it? When the building market collapsed, what happened? We realized how delicate everything is and that in 1 year it can be taken from us. We are absolutely dependent on God. Thirdly, it also, I think, reveals our ungratefulness at times. It reveals our ungratefulness. Have you ever prayed this prayer out of mere tradition or quickly got it done or even forgotten it? Well, you see, what Jesus is teaching here, when we don't sincerely pray this prayer in full acknowledgement that God is the one receiving this prayer and giving us as an answer to it, we're living out of ingratitude, really. We're not trusting. We're thinking we did it. Or we're thinking we had it coming. It's a life of ingratitude when we don't sincerely pray, Father, give us my daily bread. Because we're not acknowledging that it's Him and it's not out of thankfulness for what He has given to us every day. Fourthly, also, I think it teaches us how blessed we are. How blessed we are. We're here told to pray for the necessities of our life, but how blessed are we? When was the last time you and I worried that we were going to starve to death? Now, of course, things are tighter than others. Tighter than at other times, we know that. But think about this. We're told here to depend on God daily. And how many of us can have enough for weeks on an end? We are blessed beyond measure in this country. We have people in foreign lands, our brothers and sisters, who are daily depending on God for daily bread. I read this afternoon of Reverend Vanderpool working in India. There are people in India worshiping God, depending daily for God to provide. And we are blessed. Really, we should be awestruck at what God has given us. We're absolutely blessed in this country. Even when things are tight, we have much to be thankful for. And lastly, and fifthly, I said six. I must have cut one. I only have five. But the last one. The fifth thing that we learn is really it teaches us the grace of the gospel. It teaches us the grace of the gospel. Now, what do I mean by that? It teaches us what Christ had to do to save us. You see, we're dependent beings. We've always been dependent. But think about what it took for Christ to go to the cross. God the Son, the second person of Trinity, from all eternity past, was self-sufficient. There was never a time where God the Son needed anything. He had the Father. He had the Holy Spirit. They together in the Trinity stood completely apart with no needs. But on Christmas Day, what happened? Christ was born of Virgin Mary. He was born a baby. He was born in the flesh. He needed Mary to feed Him. He needed Mary to clothe Him. Christ, in order to save us, had to literally be dependent on His very own creation. Christ, God the Son, came. He needed to eat. He needed to drink. He needed to breathe. Christ needed to sleep. Our Savior, God the Son, became dependent just as we are, so that He could go to the cross in our place and absorb the wrath and literally have His life taken from Him so that we could have eternal life. Even more than this, what really causes me to be amazed is if you think about it, on Christmas Day, Jesus, the man, was absolutely dependent on Mary for life. But yet Mary was dependent on God, the Son, for her life in that moment. He was sustaining her life while she kept God, the Son, as a baby alive. And so here's my point. The gospel required God the Son to humble Himself. Christ had to pray that God would give Him His daily bread. And God met that. And even more than that, Christ is our bread of life. If you think about that as we go into the week ahead, if God has already given us so much in Christ, will He not also give us our daily bread? Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank You for such a promise as this, but we pray that You would give us confidence to actually rest in this promise. All too often, Father, You know that we are tempted to trust in our own hands in the things of this world, and You know that causes anxiety. But Father, we pray, lift our eyes heavenward to rest where you call us to place our trust in the undying confidence of Christ and his provision for us. And Father, we thank you for such a promise as this. We ask all these things in Christ's name alone. Amen.